Downtown on a Wednesday afternoon. Rich Kimble, Kerry Haskell. Bruce Pratt here for Sports Lit 101. We'll connect with poet Gerald Costanzo just a moment. I also see that Tom Yockey book sitting over there, Bruce.
Yeah, I just finished this wonderful Steve Allman book called Bad Stories, which was really outstanding. And I just picked this up today. I've been leafing through it. What's really interesting is Nolan takes time at the end of the book to specifically address, it goes both about 15 pages to the things that have caused the controversy about Yockey. And I think that a lot of us may have thought that was a little more cut and dried than it is. And I'm not in any way an apologist for anything Tom Yockey said or did as the head of the Red Sox. But he and his wife's philanthropy, which goes to the billions of dollars, somebody said if there was a philanthropic hall of fame, they'd be there. And the testimony of any number of African-American players, and it's not all of them, who work with him, said some pretty positive things about
him. Well, yeah, and we had Jim McCaffrey on the show last week, and she was at the hearing in Boston and talked about, first of all, Jim Lomborg speaking about how he believed that Tom Yockey was a changed man, and then perhaps most compelling, Reggie Smith. And Reggie Smith, who talked about playing in a racist city in Boston, but was very complimentary of Tom Yockey and how good he was to him. And so, it's not... it's not as simple as it might have appeared at first.
Right, and I think that sometimes we forget that things that were so normal to people a long time ago, bad things, mean and unkind things, were just that. They were normal to them. It was part of the world they lived in. And, not everybody is the first one out of that world. But if you get yourself out of that world, if you find a way to understand that... it's wrong, and then try and do something about it, then I think, sometimes you need to give a guy a break. And I don't know. I haven't read the book yet. It'll be a couple of weeks as we're going to talk to Amanda Ottaway next week or the week after. It's next week. I'm withholding judgment, but Bill Nolan is the kind of author you trust. I mean, he's been around. He's got a journalism background. He understands the difference between fake news and real news, and I think, so far it's going to be a pretty good book. The folks at the University of Nebraska felt that they were extraordinarily lucky to land this book. They thought that the agent was going to give it to some bigger, to a bigger publisher, major national publisher. But they felt that it would become, that while that might have made some more money for Bill, it would have sensationalized an issue rather than allowed people to read it in a more sober light, the way that... people do such things in, and when they read books that are from academic presses, even though it's clearly not an academic press.
Now you mentioned too, next week, Amanda Ottaway, her book, The Rebounders, and you have been raving about that.
Man, I meant it, that I think if you're a Division I coach, the parent of someone who's being recruited to be a Division I athlete or a Division I athlete, I don't care whether you're playing at a factory like Alabama or Florida State, or you're at a school like a Davidson or a Lafayette or a Richmond that has a rich academic tradition and is very small but still plays D1 sports. What so many kids don't remember or don't know, or no one is honest with them about, is you may have been a star in high school. You may have scored 2,000 points in your high school career, but that doesn't mean that there isn't somebody on that team that you've been recruited to join who's way better than you are.
Right.
I think that everybody should read that book. But here's the thing: Amanda Ottaway is a journalist now. She was a really good basketball player. She came from Western Pennsylvania. They take their high school sports very seriously there, as we know from football and also from basketball. She was recruited by a lot of D1 teams. She ended up at Davidson, which is one of the top academic institutions in the country that plays D1. It's right there with schools that we would recognize that don't, that play D3. Davidson is right in the conversation with the Bowdens and the Middleberries and the Colbys and the Bateses of the world. And as a result, there's a tremendous amount of pressure to both perform and to keep your academics up, and it's not easy. It's very difficult, and she really details that, and the injuries and the coaching changes. We know a little bit about that in basketball here at the University of Maine. So yeah, I would. The Rebounders is really a tremendous book. I would recommend anybody, all those people that I mentioned, and anybody that likes sports at all to read it. It's fabulously well written. And Amanda sent me an email the other day. She's heard a little bit of stuff of the show, and she's like, I really, really can't wait for this. So,
boy, speaking of authors that we've had on here, Amy Bass getting all kinds of publicity for One Goal. She has literally been on a media blitz here for the last couple of weeks. That is such a terrific book, all about the Lewiston High School soccer team that won the state championship a couple of years ago and then repeated, I believe, this past year. So good stuff there. We're waiting to connect with Gerald Costanzo. While we're waiting, Bruce, let's talk a little bit about this collection of books. And we've mentioned it before. You've talked about it. But an interesting premise behind these poems.
Yeah, that's the section called Regular Haunts, which is one of the longer sections, is interesting because Jerry, as a poet, is very focused on our culture and the big, and I mean the big culture on the big stage, and has a very keen eye for sort of some of the oddities, you might say, he's not a guy that lives for nostalgia, but he has a phenomenal memory. You know, you and I have talked about this, but every one of these poems ends with the first sentence of a mystery novel or a thriller. And he talks about how in the 40s and 50s, we had this move that went from Westerns to mysteries and thrillers. And you think about it in the films that you know, the Maltese Falcon, say, or I'm trying to think of some of the great mysteries, Dial M for Murder, Double Indemnity, movies like that took over from the movies we had been watching, like Treasure of Sierra Madre, as a people. And as that changed, you think about how L.A. changed. Think about how the West Coast changed. And he just expands on that. Let me read one real quick one. It's called the poem is called The Big Heat by William P. McGivern. Probably it would be Estelle wanting to talk of her predilection for the recondite and sexual and matters sexual. In that insistent twang of hers, or Tallulah, reputed flagellatrist, dialing to shock him with her latest canard. No respite for the leering, but, as assuredly, no gang. Whatever, it was 8 o'clock at night when the phone rang. So, 8 o'clock, it was 8 o'clock at night when the phone rang was obviously the first line of this of the thriller that he took it from. But here's a poem of Jerry's I've loved. If you know how blind people are able to tell the notes in their pocket, in their wallets, because they fold them all a certain way. Ones are folded one way, fives, tens, twenties, whatever they have. And he has this poem called Braille, but we don't have Braille money, so they have to recognize tactily what it is. The blind folding their dollar bills in half, giving the fives a crease on each corner, leaving the tens smooth as a knuckle. There are ways, even in trust among the rank and file of the seeing, not to be bilked. The blind leading the blind is not so bad. How it is lost on us every day that you can learn all of the world you need to know by gently tapping it with a stick. A lot of those kinds of visions, and a lot of he's got eight or nine poetry collections, and we could only barely tack the surface. I've also sent him an email. Which I did not hear back from. I wonder whether Pittsburgh traffic or something has done him in, because he was going to go home. But it's a really good. I love his Nobody Lives on Arthur Godfrey Boulevard Anymore, which is another great collection and another great poem.
We'll catch up with Jerry another time
and find out what happened.
Absolutely. Next week in Sports Lit 101, Amanda Ottaway talks about her book The Rebounders.